But I was saved very young. I have no memory of being in the world and not knowing Jesus. And that's been a great thing, but maybe at times I've taken that for granted. And so a while back, it's been a few years now, but we live out east of town, about a mile and a half north of Highway 20. And a guy stole a car in Valentine, and he ran out of gas out there on the highway, and he wanted to put some distance between himself and the car, and so he starts running. And he goes to my neighbors first, and he looks in their windows, and when he sees them, he bails out of their yard, and they call me, and he heads up towards my house. And so I jump in my Toyota and run down there and meet him, and he takes off running just kind of like a wounded coyote right down the fence line. And, of course, I follow him. We didn't know anything about the car at the time, and I had to get through a gate. And he went about a half mile and went through a couple more barbed wire fences, and I finally got in front of him and cut him off, and he went through our corral and got hung up on this woven wire fence there and tore his coat. And so I pulled in front of him and cut him off, and he's walking right towards me. His clothes are tattered, he's scraped up, he's winded, and I look at him and I say, "Hey, what can I do for you?" I don't know why I said that, like I was taking his order at a drive-through window or something, but he just kept coming, didn't say a word, just kept coming right for my truck, and so I yelled at him, I said, "Stop it, what do you need?" And he just kept coming, and I looked right in his eyes, and I saw angry defiance, and I saw real fear and panic, and I saw guilt, and he just kept coming, and I got to thinking, if he's got a knife or a gun, I'm toast here. And so I pulled ahead, and he cut behind me and ran for the creek. And he plunged right through another brand new four-wire barbed wire fence, tore his clothes some more, and he got down on the creek, and he hides behind a tree. And it was kind of pathetic because I could see his coat the whole time while he's hiding down there, but I'm sure he was tired. And so I called the sheriff, and I waited, and the deputy came out, and he told him to put his hands on his head, and the guy wouldn't. And anyway, long story short, he finally got him apprehended, and the guy made up a story about owing some people money in Denver, and they dropped him off up here, and he didn't know where he was. None of it was true. We found out a couple days later that he'd stolen the car. But that story and that encounter, and the deputy took him away. I never saw him again. But I thought, really, the difference between that man and me and my perception of his life is that I had heard and believed the gospel, and he either hadn't heard it or hadn't believed it. And I went to a men's group the next morning, and really for the first time in a long time, when Devin asked, you know, how's everybody doing, I thought to myself, I am alive and well. His spirit is within me. My perception of that man's life, and I can't judge his heart. I don't know, you know, what he knew or didn't know. But so I'm just talking about my perception. But his life seemed characterized by turmoil and strife. And my life in Christ is characterized by peace. I have peace with God. Peace with the creator of heaven and earth. There's peace in our home because of his teaching and his spirit. Peace in our relationships. What a difference. The gospel has been good and powerful in my life. You know, I think he hoped to stay out of jail that day, but I don't think it really mattered. I don't think he had any real hope in the world. Whether there were bars on his windows or not, I think he was without hope. And I have hope. I have a real, abiding, sustaining, purifying hope. I have hope in future grace. My future is secure and glorious. I have hope in present grace. God has been kind to us. He's been a good provider. He answers prayer. He takes care of us. A real difference in hope. You know, I looked at his face, and there was just a cloud of guilt and shame. And he just carried that everywhere he went, I'm sure. And I don't carry a lot of guilt. And it's not because I haven't done stuff or hurt people. I have done stuff and hurt people. But I'm forgiven. And not only am I forgiven, but it's paid for. Because of the cross of Christ, I'm set free. I'm completely, I own nothing. My account is paid in full. Just think of the difference in two men over a period of years. One wakes up every morning carrying all of his guilt and shame, going from death to death. And one, me, because of the gospel, wakes up to mercy that's new every morning, completely forgiven, set free, account paid in full, moving from glory to glory. I'll never get over that. I'll never forget over that. I could go on and on, and I won't, but you know, he seemed angry. I'm not angry. How could I be angry? I've been shown so much patience and kindness and grace and mercy. I have nothing to be angry about. I think fear was his constant companion, fear and anxiety. I think he was enveloped by fear, and I'm not afraid. It's not because I'm naive. Bad things have happened in the past. I expect terrible things will happen in the future. Nobody gets out alive, but I'm not afraid. I know the one who is all and through all and by whom all things hold together, and nothing can separate me from his love. The gospel has been good and powerful in my life. You know, when the deputy led him up the hill and put him in the cop car, he just seemed so alone. Who would care for that man? Who would pray for that man? Who would teach that man? By contrast, I'm not alone. And thanks to Jesus, I never will be. Let me just spend a little bit of time here. You know, for a long, long time, I did not want close Christian fellowship. Just didn't want it, couldn't tolerate it with any length of time. It just seemed to me like things got better fixed for me if I just got on a horse and rode or something like that and not in close Christian fellowship. Didn't want it. And Zach Vartness, just over time, and I don't have time to tell you the whole story, but he started to help me teach through Colossians, I think, at the time. Wanted to help me teach Sunday school, and I thought, Zach, I don't need the help, but whatever. And my plan was to get rid of him at the end of Colossians. And pretty soon he's getting the families together for supper, and he's dreaming up things he needs to help me with, and I'm trying to pump the brakes. And I'm really good at putting distance in a relationship. I mean, undefeated over a 20-year period probably in that area. And I can't shake him. It was like trying to break up with someone in a foreign language. You know, you think, well, that'll do it. We got it taken care of. And he's planning the next thing we'll teach together. And he's inviting other college kids to join us on Thursday night. And I'm thinking, whatever, Zach. You know, two's company, three's a crowd. We don't really need the help. But they come and they contribute and they seem to thrive with the fellowship and the Bible study. And over time, I start to realize that Zach thinks studying the Bible with me is good for him. And Zach thinks hanging out with me is good for his kids. And God did a real work in my heart. I mean, probably broke it a little bit, but something has changed and I'm not alone. Every Thursday night now, there's five or six guys sitting around my kitchen table, studying their Bible, praying for each other. And the gospel's been good and powerful in my life.